Hello, I'm Georgina Marshall, Global Head of Research for ISS, and welcome to the first in a new series of ISS Proxy Bulletin podcasts. For many years, we've provided clients with exclusive access to regular Proxy Bulletin calls during proxy season. These have provided listeners with timely insights into key voting trends and emerging issues and alerted them to notable or contentious upcoming meetings during the busiest time of the season. Based on client feedback and keeping up with the times and technology, we're now transforming our monthly bulletin calls into an ongoing bulletin podcast series. With this new format, we hope you can access the podcast to fit your own schedules at work, during your commute, or even perhaps while you're working out to get rid of some of your proxy season stress. The podcast will be focused on proxy season activity by region, by market, and by specific company AGM, so you can pick the content that meets your needs and share relevant content with any of your colleagues around the globe too. This April 29 podcast focuses on Europe as the 2019 proxy seasons heat up in the region. Joining me is Head of UK Research, Jonathan Hayman from London, who will cover France as well as UK today, and European Research Analyst Roberta Lisette-Avino from Brussels, who will cover the ground for other continental European markets. Now, we'll start with the UK. Jonathan, how is UK proxy season going so far?
Yeah, thanks, Georgina. We're entering the busiest period of UK proxy season now. Just looking at the FTSE All Share and excluding investment trusts, there are more than 200 AGMs held during April and May. More than half of those, around 120, occur over the first 3 weeks of May this year. So there's plenty to keep investors occupied over the next few weeks in this market.
Thanks, Jonathan. And it sounds like most of the AGM action is still in front of us in May. But in the meantime, some of the early April AGM results have come in. Do you have any interesting vote results to bring to our attention from the meetings held so far?
Indeed. I mean, it's still early in season, but there's already one failed resolution that I'd like to highlight. Micro Focus International, the FTSE 100 software company, saw its remuneration report fall to a narrow defeat with 50.4% of votes cast against the resolution. The key issue was the Remuneration Committee's decision to extend the performance period of its controversial value creation style long-term incentive plan, or LTIP for short, for a further year, allowing management a bit longer to try and turn around the company's recent poor performance and realize in-flight awards from the scheme. Micro Focus bought Hewlett-Packard's software business in 2017 for $8.8 billion, a deal that was generally well received by the market, but shares fell sharply in 2018 when the company warned that the integration program was running a year behind schedule. It probably didn't help the committee's case that a previous block LTIP award had vested during the period, pushing the executive chairman's single total figure to nearly £29 million. Also notable at this meeting, the re-election of each of the remuneration committee members received sizable against votes of around 15%.
Yeah, and interesting that a say on pay resolution has already been voted down this season. Looking ahead, are there any UK meetings that you think clients may want to be particularly mindful of?
Yeah, I'd like to provide brief updates on a few of the meetings that we previewed in our proxy season preview call back in March. Shell has been granted a reprieve from activist investor group Follow This, which had tabled shareholder resolutions concerning the Paris Climate Agreement at the company's three previous AGMs. Despite initial plans to file another shareholder resolution this year, the proposal was withdrawn in recognition of Shell's progress on setting carbon footprint targets in recent years, which the company is increasingly linking with executive pay. Follow This reportedly faced pressure to withdraw the resolution from some key investor groups, including members of the Climate Action 100 Plus initiative. At BP, however, there are two shareholder resolutions that will remain on the agenda, one from Climate Action 100 Plus, which the BP board has announced it supports, and the other from Follow This. The Follow This resolution is very similar to the proposals it has filed at previous Shell AGMs, and BP is not supporting that resolution.
And of course, the unusual UK proxy contest at banking giant Barclays is coming up in early May. Are there any updates you can share on that?
Quite right. The AGM will be held on May 2nd. As a refresher, activist investor Edward Bramson seeks a board seat at the upcoming AGM, having built up a 5.5% stake in the bank through his investment vehicle, Sherborne Investors. On April 8th, Branson released a letter to shareholders outlining the case for change, which the bank responded to 3 days later. Branson's main argument is that Barclays has been increasingly allocating capital to its investment bank, which he argues is a weak business, and that in so doing, Barclays has increased its leverage to a point where it is now in a relatively poor capital position. The company argues that Branson lacks the executive banking experience that the incoming chairman, Nigel Higgins, intends to add to the board. It also highlights Branson's activist track record as a likely indicator of potential disruption that he may bring to the board dynamics and to the bank's strategic direction. Barclays also criticizes the funding of Sherborne's position, which is highly leveraged and hedged with an equity collar. Separately, the regulatory investigations into Barclays CEO Jeff Staley's conduct around a whistleblowing incident in 2016 have concluded. The ISS Benchmark Research Report notes that a U.S. regulator has levied a $15 million fine on the bank as a direct consequence of Staley's action, yet this does not appear to have had any impact on his compensation. Staley netted a bonus of just over £1 million for 2018. And for any clients who are interested in reading more about Barclays, our research report will be available by the time you hear this podcast.
Hey, Jonathan, thanks for those updates. And moving over to France now, are there any key points of interest from our French team as they are also moving into the busiest part of proxy season?
Yes, indeed. Heading into the busy voting period in France, there are signs of a potential shift around shareholder engagement and board responsiveness. Last year, the French market registered the highest levels of shareholder dissent across Europe. Shareholder Rights Directive 2 introduces language that requires boards to respond to contentious votes on remuneration. Also weighing in on this topic, the French Asset Management Association has recommended that boards should review all resolutions facing significant dissent. And investors are expected to review company responses to contentious resolutions as well. This season, we expect that French remuneration proposals will receive significant attention as they tend to have higher rates of shareholder dissent compared to other proposal types. A failure by companies to adequately address concerns could lead to an escalation of shareholder dissenting votes, including the targeting of individual directors. Now, for large French companies, ISS has introduced a review of board responsiveness to significant dissent. For these purposes, significant is defined as any vote against of greater than 20% overall, or alternatively, any vote against representing more than 50% of the free float. And we're already seeing some companies that receive significant dissent from their shareholders in 2018, answering calls for improved responsiveness by introducing changes ahead of their AGMs this year.
Thanks. And it sounds like the stage is set for a very interesting voting season indeed, given that push towards more dialogue between investors and companies. Are there any French meetings that investors might particularly want to watch out for?
Yeah. French carmaker Renault has restructured its board following the arrest of former chair and CEO Carlos Ghosn in Japan on corruption charges in November 2018 relating to his role at Nissan, the Japanese carmaker. Renault is separating the roles of chair and CEO and making two new appointments to those roles. In early April, the Renault board announced that it was recommending that shareholders vote against the binding say on pay of the former CEO. At present, Ghosn is still a director at Renault, and it remains to be seen if the board will take steps to remove him. On April 8th, Ghosn was voted off the board of Nissan by its shareholders. Renault, which holds a 43% stake in Nissan, requisitioned the special meeting to call for the vote on his removal, a resolution which was in fact supported by Nissan management. The Renault AGM will be held on June 12th. Another meeting to watch is the upcoming AGM of Air France KLM, the Franco-Dutch airline, which is scheduled for May 28th. The Dutch government recently acquired a 12.7% stake in the company and has signaled an intention to take that up to 14%. Which would put it on broadly equal footing with the French government. But this shareholding position will allow the Dutch state to exert more direct influence over the company and is said to come as a surprise to the French, causing some minor diplomatic friction. The buildup of the Dutch state's shareholding comes only a few months after the appointment of Air France KLM's new CEO, Benjamin Smith, the former Air Canada executive. And naturally, this situation raises some questions about the future direction of the airline, both in terms of its governance and strategy. The AGM will also feature a vote on the remuneration of the new CEO, whose pay is substantially higher than his predecessors. And this is an issue that has already provoked debate among some politicians and labor unions.
Thanks, Jonathan, for covering both those markets. Next, we're going to move on to the Germanic region. And in Germany, some of the earlier meetings promised to be quite interesting. Roberto, I know you're going to give us an overview.
Indeed. Germany's proxy season won't pick up until the week after the Easter holiday in Europe, but it has already started with a success for concerned shareholders. Before looking ahead, let's go back to the recent April 8th AGM of the Consumer Goods and Home Care Group Henkel, where shareholders were successful in forcing the company to withdraw a proposal to issue new preferred shares, which would have further perpetuated the disparity between economic interest and voting power at Henkel. The proposal would have given the Henkel family, as the majority shareholder, the ability to lower its direct economic exposure while preserving its voting control over the company. The blue chip company maintains a dual class capital structure with preferred shares that usually carry no voting rights, except for capital measures that also affect the preference share class, as it was the case last week.
Interesting, and I know that the AGM of Germany's life sciences and pharmaceutical giant Bayer has also already received a lot of your attention. What can shareholders expect there?
The April 26th AGM of Bayer is going to one of the most interesting German meetings this month, given recent events and development at its newly acquired Monsanto unit. In June 2008, following more than 2 years of negotiation, Bayer completed the $63 billion acquisition of the U.S. provider of agricultural products. 2 months later, in August, a California jury found Monsanto liable in a lawsuit claiming that the company's active ingredient, glyphosate, caused the cancer of a terminally ill man. Monsanto was ordered to pay almost $80 million. In March, in the second glyphosate case to go to trial, another California jury found that Monsanto's herbicide Roundup is cancer-causing and that Bayer is liable because its Monsanto unit did not warn about this risk. As a result, the court awarded $80 million to the plaintiff. As with previous verdicts, Bayer regarded the ruling as disappointing and said it would appeal, claiming that over 800 studies have found glyphosate to be safe. In addition to these two cases noted above, around 8,200 glyphosate-related lawsuits have been filed so far. In the coming months, further verdicts in trials related to glyphosate are expected throughout the U.S. If Monsanto is found to be liable for these cases, such an outcome could do unprecedented financial and reputational damage to Bayer. Bayer's market capitalization has already shrunk to an amount roughly equal to what it paid for the Monsanto acquisition last year, following one of the biggest shareholders' losses in the history of the German DAX index.
Thanks, Roberto. That's definitely one to watch, and your pronunciation of Bayer is much better than mine. The Swiss proxy season is currently at its peak with over 120 meetings this month. Can you talk us through what are some of the key meetings for shareholders in Switzerland?
Credit Suisse meeting, which will be held on April 27th this year, is one of the Swiss market key meetings. After three consecutive multi-billion dollar annual net losses between 2015 and 2017, the bank realized its first annual net profit, 2 billion Swiss francs, last year. Nevertheless, following several lawsuits and fines affecting shareholder value as a result, many shareholders may be skeptical concerning the bank's bonus system with its increased pay opportunities for the CEO and other executives. 2 days earlier, on April 25th, Swiss technology company Comet Holding will face a proxy fight over the chairmanship of its board, which is quite unusual in Switzerland. The Swiss asset manager, Verason, has proposed its own candidate for this position and argues that Comet's underperformance is related to poor strategy. Considering these challenges, it argues, Comet needs strong leadership to ensure stability and regain trust, given that the company is not delivering satisfactory results in two of its four divisions. The company argues that the division nominee's age will not allow him to serve on the board for more than 3 years, since Comet's articles specify a director retirement age of 70 years.
Thanks, Robert. And the last general meeting we should mention for Europe is Spain's Banco Santander, where the AGM took place last week and a messy succession scenario is playing out. What happened at the meeting?
The controversy started last year in September when Banco Santander announced that effective from the beginning of 2019, Andrea Orcel, a former UBS man, was supposed to take over the CEO position. However, in mid-January, Santander made public that Orcel would not become CEO because the cost of compensating him for his past remuneration could not exceed those corresponding to the original understanding. Both the decisions to appoint an investment banker and not to proceed with the appointment were widely panned in domestic and international media. This succession mess has caused reputational and potentially economic damage to the bank. Orcel is now assessing whether to start legal actions against Santander for possible breaches of a contractual agreement, given that Orcel has received a contractual letter from the bank in which Santander agreed to a signing package worth 50 million euros. At the company's AGM, this topic was intensively discussed, and roughly 15% of shareholders voting against the re-election of Santander's chairman of the Remuneration and Nomination Committee due to deficiencies in the company's hiring process that might prove costly for the Banco Santander in the end. Back to you, Georgina.
Thanks, and that's it for April's podcast. Thank you, Roberto and Jonathan, too. And thanks most of all to you, our listeners. So we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please watch your email for the next installment and send any feedback or questions to bulletin@issgovernance.com. That's bulletin@issgovernance.com. Thank you and goodbye for now.